I hold a lot in. That's what he said. I don't really talk about it, but I see that you do. I ain't really trying to share all my business with friends. I heard you got a therapist. Want to know if it's true. I saw that on my phone about 5:45. Praising God, black men don't be talking like this. I've been going for a year. It's been healing my heart. Should have been 5 years. Finding the courage to start, that's the hardest of parts. Putting together old stories and whatever happened years ago, but still dealing with today, acting out of my stress and still holding it in, trying not to get a gun charge, wanting revenge hard. It's just one God. So should I go Old Testament or new? Pay it back or let it slide? Hold it in or let it move? Constipated, my desire to forgive, especially what they did. Listen to what Peter said up in Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Jesus, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus says, not 7 times. I tell you, but 77 times. In some translations, it reads 77 or 70 times 7, which I'll do the math for you, is 490 times. Forgiveness is tricky business. To forgive like that, where Jesus asks for, requires, and demands nothing, sets up a stage for us where we forgive. Notice again here, as it was with the last week's text in Luke 14, where Jesus points out the destruction of the temple and talks about how the people will respond. Notice again that Jesus is not concerned with causation, but rather response. In other words, we blame our response on what people did. Well, I'm like this because they did this to me. They deserve this response to me. They deserve my wrath. They have earned my wrath and my anger. They have earned my lack of forgiveness. They did this, not me. But Jesus holds independent what has happened to us and now asks of what we must do when it has happened. The doing, the responsibility on our part is the same regardless of what has happened. To forgive like that, church, is difficult and runs counter to our nature, to our tradition, to human history, and even represents a change in God. To be loyal to Jesus, there are many things we must betray. And yet Jesus, in one of his most difficult passages, asked this with no qualification. He doesn't say, well, if they do it, if they do this much, then this doesn't count. With no qualification, even giving a parable afterward to highlight this beautiful, difficult, new commandment. The parable is of a king who wishes to settle an account with slaves. And one slave, which meant worker then, but was sort of the same setup, similarly, one slave owing 10,000 talents begs the king to have patience, and the king forgives. But that slave then goes off and has another slave who works under him who owes him 100 talents. Now surely the man who has just received forgiveness of 10,000 will gladly give forgiveness to 100, but he doesn't. He puts the man in prison. And the original debt owner now, the king, sees how this forgiven man has treated another and decides to call for that man and to have him tortured until all of his debt is paid. So God will do to every one of you, Jesus says, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. To forgive like that. There's a story told often in sermons and public speeches and such of a Korean child who served as a houseboy for American soldiers, and the soldiers would mock him and push him around. They would threaten the boy every day. They would play practical jokes on him and tie his shoes together so they could watch him fall, and lock him out of the house sometimes when it was raining. You know, treated him more like a pet than a human. Well, then one day they just felt so bad. I don't know what hit them, but one day they just knew they couldn't go any further. They realized what they were doing was wrong and how they were hurting the boy. They said, "How could we have done this to this boy?" They go to the boy and beg forgiveness, and they ask for they apologize, and the boy just looks at them and says, "It's okay. I'll stop spitting in your soup now." Most of us forgive like this. It comes from Jewish law, and even before that, in the Code of Hammurabi, the Babylonian code of conduct for all citizens. They had 282 laws of how to deal with one another, how to create a just and civil society. They only needed 282 laws to get that done. Mostly boiled down to one idea, all of those laws. And the basic idea was this: eye for an eye. You've heard that before, right? Of course. They believed in retribution. If somebody did something to you, then you could do it to them in equal measure. Not above, though, because this is justice. In equal measure, you could do it to them. The famous law about the eye is actually in the code. Hammurabi, the king of the Babylonian Empire, says, "If a man has destroyed the eye of a man of the gentleman class, they shall destroy his eye. But if that man is a commoner, then you only owe him a piece of silver. You can keep your eye. And if that man was a slave, then you only owe half the price of that slave." This was a society built on justice where some people get a little more justice than others. Everyone is not equal. Well, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's a good thing that Judaism comes along and fixes this with their Bible. Not so fast. The Jewish law, which is found in Exodus and Leviticus, copies almost exactly from Hammurabi's code. If you look at them side by side, it'll be clear that they got a ton of their laws from them. And that's not a problem, but that happened all the time in the ancient world. Leviticus 24, "Anyone who kills a human being shall be put to death. Anyone who kills an animal shall make restitution for it." Life for life, the death penalty right there. "Anyone who maims another shall suffer the same injury in return." Fracture for fracture. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. The injury inflicted is the injury to be suffered. They are not saying God will do this, right? The people will do this on God's behalf. The people will, as one great historian of Jewish life, Johannes Peterson, said, the divine strength acts through the human soul, is what they believed, that God's power acted through the hands of humans. And if a man cannot act, he says, it means that God has withdrawn from him. Retribution was humanity's way of taking on God, which made retaliation, that was not a possibility. No, this was a divine act. I have to kill you for God. That word forgive, it meant to balance. Something was put off balance by this act, and now we are going to balance it again. A debt being forgiven meant that the debt was paid back. A person being forgiven meant that they had done back to them, an equal measure of the sin that they had committed. Some sins were $5 sins, and some sins were $50 sins. And this was how they lived. Grace, then, church, meant to offer a pardon. It meant to forgive and to consider the debt paid. This is grace, even when the payment does not equal the amount of the original debt. I'm moving fast here, church. Is everybody okay so far? Everybody all right? Good. Because Jesus is doing something important with this 77 times 7. Check this out. Peter says, should I forgive him 7 times? Feels random, right? And in Peter's mind, this is extravagant forgiveness. 7 times. This is biblical forgiveness. Literally, in Genesis chapter 4. Write that down and check it out in your own time. Genesis chapter 4, we hear the story of Cain slaying Abel. And Cain, worried about his punishment, says, God, they are going to kill me. Well, you just killed somebody. But anyway, they're going to kill me, God. Help me. And God's response says, I will put a mark on you, and anyone who kills you will suffer a 7-fold vengeance. Did you hear that? Vengeance times 7. Cain's son, Lamech, right, later in that same chapter, brags that he killed somebody because they wounded him in battle. They wounded him, he killed them, and that if his father is avenged 7 times, that Lamech will be avenged 77 times. And the word there is not really mathematical. It's not meant for you to think about 77 or 70 times 7. It's what it's saying is limitlessly. That's what it means. It's sort of like how we say infinity now, like just forever. You can't even count that high. However high you can count one more than that. That's how much Lamech is going to be avenged in that text in Genesis 4. And some people say 77, some say 77 times 7 equals 490. So that means on the 491st time that something happens to me, they get what's coming to them. That's not what this is saying. When Peter asks Jesus, should I forgive 7 times? This is Peter's way of showing Jesus that they love God. They know this text. They know the Cain story is all throughout their life. To forgive 7 times is a reversal of taking on the divine punishment and wrath. No, instead of vengeance 7 times, because we really love God, we're gonna forgive 7 times. And maybe now Peter thinks that we will begin to love like God instead of avenging like God. That is what he wants to do. God bless Peter. This is what we all want to do. To love like God, right? It's reckless to forgive 7 times. That would mean you let something happen to you 7 times. Or it happened 7 times and nobody could stop it. Why would I forgive 7 times? For Peter to even suggest this is nonsense, he's saying. And it's up until the response that Peter is given, what he has said is the most faithful and subversive and loving twisted of tradition that's ever been uttered. People would not say this. I'll go this far. I'll go up to time 1 or 2, but 7? 7 is hard. Have you ever had to forgive somebody 7 times? And not be mad at them? Married folks, don't look at your spouse right now. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because y'all know what 77 times 7 is. Most people won't even get to 7 in this world. Most people will spend their whole life getting to 1. A recent study showed that 98% of people said that forgiveness is important, but only 48% actually try and do it. To pardon when others have hurt us. In a world where retaliation is not only the norm, but it is seen as divine. Eye for an eye. I'm doing this as a righteous act because you deserve it. Some of us forgive like this. We want back what has been taken from us. In August 1619, 400 years and 1 month ago, the first ship with 20 Africans on its deck in chains arrived at Point Comfort, Virginia. What happened next was the subjugation of an entire continent in the name of empire and white supremacy. We are just within the last 100 years able to even articulate this evil and the thrust it has had upon people, the ability to grasp what has been done, what what has been lost, the genocide, the carnage of exploitation. Some have said, without reparations, there can be no forgiveness, a payment equal to the sin. But how in America can we even calculate? You would have to give us the keys to the whole country. How can we even discuss the measure to be done upon the indigenous people of Guatemala? How can we even discuss what is being done at the border right now? What is being done in Arab Palestine right now? How can we even discuss what is happening on the south side of Chicago? How can we do equal measure? Someone tell me how. Some of us, when we are hit, we hit back. Because it's a reflex to protect ourselves, to survive. I'm not letting that happen again. That hurt me. And now the only way to get back is to hurt you. With an equal and opposite reaction, we like to do that. You've heard that phrase in classrooms before, equal and opposite reaction. See, some of us become physicists when it's time to forgive. Some of us forgive like this. Some of us, when we get hurt, keep a record of the harm. Oh, we know what happens, such that the work that they must do to receive forgiveness is measured appropriately until the scale is perfectly balanced once again on each side. There are people in our lives who we say have not earned our forgiveness yet. Benny Hinn, probably the most famous televangelist in the world, came out last week and he apologized for the prosperity gospel. Said it was a mistake. What he was doing his whole life. He said that now he knew that this was a lie. Duh. He said at this moment and season of his life, he was sick to his stomach. But what critics have said is that this isn't enough. Compared to the thousands and thousands of people that he has fleeced in his life. To simply say, oh, I feel really bad. Bad enough I can't eat. Some of us hold our anger until the apology is real. Quote, unquote. Some of us forgive like this. And some of us forgive in a way that is very abstract. We do it within, but we never really address the person or never truly let it go. We simply say, I forgive you, and don't deal with the difficulty of forgiveness. Forgiveness in this sense is entirely sentimental. Forgiveness simply means when I see you, I won't try to crush you. But I'm still mad at you. I'm still processing. I'm still holding in what has happened to me. I've not dealt with it. But I'm choosing for us to not fight publicly about this. Some of us forgive like this. But when Jesus talks about forgiveness, it hurts. Because we can never give people what they deserve. That is the truth. For what has been done to us, for what has been done inside of our communities, for what might have happened to you as a child, we can never give them what they deserve. There will never be an equal balance to what has happened. We can't start a race war. Reparations, which would be awesome, would be fair, but they may never come. The offering will never equal the sin. They may never even make an offering. They may never even apologize. They may never even think that they've done anything wrong. But remember, forgiveness is not caused by the offender. It is caused when those hurt decide that the loss that I take in forgiving is less than what I risk in not forgiving you. I know I'm going to take a loss to forgive you. I know I'm not going to get back what I deserve, what you took from me. And I am choosing to forgive you. This has nothing to do with you. There are people that might never apologize, might never give us what we say we need as a requisite to give them what God requires us to give. What I risk in holding a grudge. The anger and the stress that builds up inside of us. The way our blood pressure builds up when we even get around people or think about situations. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody you know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I risk my health. I risk my body. I get sicker by counting this debt. We get sicker when we count the debts that are against us. We get physically sicker. We risk our mental health, and it worsens when we hold grudges against people. And so I forgive. I must never forget, church, but must do all I can to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I'm not going to let it happen if it's in my power, but the debt which you can never repay to me, I forgive. To say within yourself, it is time for me to move on. Even with a debt unpaid, it is time to move forward. I'm not staying at this place waiting for people to repay me what they probably don't have the good sense to even know they did. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. To say that inside of yourself, I forgive. To tell that person, to find a way to tell that person, I forgive, even knowing that the debt will go unpaid. I forgive. And it is time for me and you to move forward, to know that God will give you what they never could give you, church, to pardon the debt, knowing that God will pay the balance and God will make us whole again. To take on limitless forgiveness, even at time number 8, even at time number 491, limitless forgiveness as an act of God instead of vengeance, instead of hostility. See, here's the nuance in this though, right? People in power want us to be so forgiving all the time so that they can never be held accountable for what they have done. I know people want us to be forgiving. Oh, let's just forgive. Let's just love. Let's not talk about it. That's not what we're talking about here. The church in this country will never be stomped out by power. It will always be considered an ally to power and empire because they want oppressed people to keep on loving. But they misunderstand us, church, and they misunderstand this text. I forgive you means I pardon the debt, not the act. I pardon the debt. The debt keeps me bound to you. It keeps me looking for you for something. It keeps us tied together emotionally and spiritually. The debt keeps us bound, and now that is what I pardon. That is over, and we cannot even begin to forgive the debt until the act itself has ended. I can't forgive midway. You got to stop first. After I get my freedom, you can have my forgiveness. That's what I say to America. Give me my freedom and you can have my forgiveness. 77 times 7 infinity. Then, whether or not you have the good sense to apologize or not, I will deliver myself from your harm. Forgiveness frees us. We are the ones freed by forgiveness. God is still going to deal with them however God needs to deal with them. Forgiveness frees us. For so many of us, we need to forgive like that. Past harms need forgiving. Our parents need forgiving. God, help us to let go of the weight that can never be balanced. Give us the faith to truly forgive. Hear within you places where aggravations are waiting for others to become wise, or waiting for time to reverse itself and undo the wrong, and will remain until we forgive. This is what Jesus meant. Amen.